once again. This is Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is the Traditional Naturopath Podcast. I'm glad you could join us as we continue to talk about issues in the natural health arena today. And it's been a little while since our last podcast. I apologize for that. We've just had so much going on that I haven't been able to do a Traditional Naturopath podcast. I do want to remind you that the Traditional Naturopath blog is always available, and that's where I blog things as I find information that I think will be of interest to you concerning the natural health arena. So, between podcasts, if you want to go to traditionalnaturopath.com, that's both words, traditional and naturopath, just put them right together, no space, traditionalnaturopath.com, and you'll be able to read the blog entries as I blog them. And of course, we use that as the basis for our discussion here on the podcast. So, in that vein, let's go ahead and talk about some of the things that that we did go over in the blog. In the entry right after the last podcast, which was actually posted on July 26th, this of course is August 11th, so it's a little out of date, but still, I believe, of interest to you. The FDA approved Ally, even though they knew of a cancer risk. Now, we've talked about the diet drug Ally before. It's A-L-L-I, so there was a point that I thought it was Ali, as in Muhammad Ali, had two L's in there, but apparently they're just doing a play on words and calling it Ally, as in a friend or ally, and it is evident that this drug is not at all friendly, because studies have indicated that this diet drug, which is basically an over-the-counter version of Orlistat, or Xenical, which has been around for quite some time, in the studies over the past 10 years, it has been shown to cause precancerous lesions of the colon. Now, the way Ally is supposed to work is basically make it more difficult to digest fats. Well, those fats have to, of course, go somewhere. They don't just disappear. So since you can't digest them, they go through your system and, of course, create problems coming out of your system, if you get my drift. Basically, if you take this drug, you can count on the fact that you're going to be stuck in the bathroom pretty much most of the time, and you're not going to have very much control of your bowels, so plan on changing underwear frequently. Now, as gross as that is, and I know some of you are going, oh man, Dr. Bill, that's pretty pretty graphic description. Well, that's just part of the problem, because yes, it causes diarrhea. Yes, it can be extremely messy and gross. But at the same time, it is also very dangerous. These precancerous lesions are definitely a problem, big problem. Also, the fat-soluble vitamins, because of Orlistat's fat-blocking action, are not absorbed into the system, particularly vitamin E, which is a tremendous antioxidant. So therefore, you end up with, basically, it's understood you end up with poor digestion, because you're not going to be digesting your fats. Therefore, you're not going to get the proper vitamins and nutrients, and therefore it's going to affect your overall health, even if you discount the diarrhea and the precancerous lesions. So, this is not a safe drug. It should never have been approved as a drug, much less as over-the-counter or OTC status. Should never have been given to this drug. So, if you are even considering, or you know someone that's considering taking this drug, be aware that it is dangerous. And these commercials that they show, where they basically say, you have to commit to working with Ally. Well, you should be committed if you use it, is the bottom line. All right. Getting a little intense there. Next item, chocolate without the sugar, obviously, is good for diabetics. And we've seen recently there are a lot of benefits to chocolate. Turns out that chocolate may actually help regulate blood sugar. Now, that's pretty amazing, considering that A lot of diabetics obviously avoid chocolate bars, and that's wise, because they need to avoid taking so much processed sugar. However, the chocolate, see, chocolate is just one of the ingredients in a chocolate bar. If you take out the sugar and just have the chocolate actually will help to balance blood sugar levels. As a matter of fact, mice in a recent study that had a supplemented intake of extract of cacao liquor, which is basically what a chocolate bar, the chocolate in a chocolate bar is derived from, demonstrated a significant reduction in blood sugar levels in a Japanese study reported in the journal Nutrition. The dietary intake of food or drugs produced from cacao beans might be beneficial in preventing the onset of type 2 diabetes, the study's authors wrote. Type 2 diabetes occurs when the body becomes desensitized to the sugar-regulating hormone insulin. Type 1 diabetes is caused by an actual deficiency of insulin due to a low production by the body. Both lead to high blood sugar levels or hyperglycemia. An estimated 7% of the U.S. population, 21 million people, have been diagnosed with diabetes. The American Diabetes Association further estimates that 6.2 million people remain undiagnosed, and another 41 million are pre-diabetic. Researchers supplemented the diets of obese diabetic mice with either 0, 0.5, or 1% cacao liquor proanthocyanins containing 72% polyphenols for 3 weeks. They found that blood sugar was reduced in direct correlation with the dosage of these proanthocyanins. They are a type of flavonoid, a plant chemical known to have antioxidant properties. Previous studies have found evidence that eating flavonoid-rich chocolate reduces the risk of cardiovascular disease. The current study, however, is the first to record the effect of cacao chemicals on blood sugar levels. So, tremendous benefit from chocolate. And what is chocolate? Chocolate is a food. Notice those flavonoids from the cacao bean are a food, and the less we process it and add things like processed sugar and so forth, the more benefit there will be. It's amazing how food is good for us, drugs are not. shouldn't be any surprise to you. Next item, diabetes side effects are linked to a vitamin deficiency. Now, this is fascinating. Diabetes, of course, is a dietary issue, and I'm talking about type 2 diabetes here, in regard to overconsumption of processed sugars, particularly tends to, in effect, contribute to type 2 diabetes. Well, the side effects that come from being a diabetic are things such as issues with the eye, usually cardiovascular issues can occur, problems with extremities, blood flow, and so forth, kidney, retina, nerve damage, all of these things, vascular problems, can be caused as a side effect of diabetes. Well, it turns out that a simple vitamin deficiency may be a cause of many of the side effects of this condition. So, if people who have been diagnosed as diabetic will take thiamine, vitamin B1, then they can prevent these side effects. They found in a study that diabetes, or diabetic patients, maybe I should say, have 15 times less of the normal rate of this vitamin B1 thiamine in their systems. So, 1/15, maybe is the best way to say it, of the normal amount of thiamine in the system. So, what would be a benefit would be to take B vitamins. Now, B vitamins are very beneficial. Multiple B vitamins are very beneficial in all kinds of different conditions. But this study links that vitamin deficiency to side effects in diabetes. So, again, if you know someone or are a person who has been diagnosed with diabetes, vitamin B and potentially large doses of thiamine would be very beneficial to avoid these side effects. All right, next item. This one I just blogged about last night. This one is frustrating and irritating on so many different levels because we are now beginning to see deaths of young girls due to taking the vaccine Gardasil. Now, if you remember earlier in the year, back in May, maybe even earlier than that, there was a big discussion of Gardasil. And basically, Merck, the pharmaceutical company that came up with this vaccine, has been pushing it relentlessly. And they have gotten a lot of politicians involved. If you remember, the governor of Texas proclaimed that young girls would have to take the Gardasil vaccine or they would not be able to continue in school. Now, this was a very controversial position, and it should be, because basically the government is mandating that people get a vaccine, brand new vaccine, that has not passed proper testing, in my humble opinion, and should not be used. And now, what's happening? The young girls that have been taking this vaccine, many of them are beginning to have terrible side effects. 5 girls have died. 31 cases were considered life-threatening. 1,385 required a visit to the emergency room. 451 of the girls have not recovered yet as of last month. 51 of the girls were disabled. Now, this is a vaccine that you either take voluntarily, or in the case of the people in Texas, they were about to have it pushed down their throat, so to speak, by the government. And this is really one of the biggest concerns I've got. First, that the FDA would approve a dangerous drug like this in the first place. Second, that a pharmaceutical company like Merck would try to pass this off on people. And third, the very way they do it just drives me nuts, because the idea is that all young people are going to engage in premarital sexual activity, and that's just the way it is, and there's nothing you can do about it. And because of that, they say that all young girls should take this because it is that premarital sexual activity, promiscuousness, that then leads to the infection of the sexually transmitted disease, and therefore this vaccine is supposed to stop that. Well, I got another clue of how you could stop it. Don't have sex before marriage. Wow, what an idea. In other words, be moral. Now, a lot of people I know say, well, Dr. Bill, you can't just say, you know, that they won't have sex because they will, so we got to give them this vaccine. No, you can also make the choice, A, not to have sex before marriage, and B, not to take a dangerous vaccine. Now, what if a young girl says, look, I'm going to be chaste, I don't need this vaccine? Well, according to the governor of Texas, you've got to take it anyway, you won't be able to go to school. It just burns me up. This is just the wrong approach on so many levels. From my perspective, it is not in the interest of health freedom. If the government can push this vaccine, what other vaccines will they begin to push? And I know many of you would say, well, they're already pushing vaccines. In order to go to school now, you've got to take all these vaccinations. Well, at least some people have pushed hard to get exemption from vaccination if you choose to. A lot of people do it based on religious grounds. That's one of the areas that it seems like maybe the government is a little less apt to push back on, is to say that we don't believe in taking a vaccine due to religious reasons. And I know a lot of people that are simply natural health advocates that say that so that they don't have to take a vaccine or have their children take vaccines. But that's a whole nother topic for a whole nother podcast. My point is that our health freedom is worth fighting for. And the other side of this is that the government should not be pushing a dangerous vaccine on America's young girls. And this, again, just sets me off that they would even do such a thing. But the bottom line is, big pharmaceutical companies are in business to produce drugs. In order to make money from these drugs, which they've spent billions of dollars developing, they have to have a audience, if you will, an audience that will receive the drug, pay for the drug, take the drug. Therefore, they get on the airwaves and they push and push and push these drugs. You know, in my day, a drug pusher was somebody the police went after and arrested. And yet here they are pushing these drugs that cause just as much pain and suffering as the drug pushers that they were campaigning against back in the day of Nancy Reagan's Just Say No campaign. I tell you, it just, it's one of those cases where, you know, don't get me started. At any rate, remember what I always say. You are the person most responsible for your personal health. You need to stand up and take your stand, personal stand, and take your rights to retain and maintain your health. I don't know. I get a little incensed over such things. Well, I tell you what, we have gone through the news over the last several weeks, almost a month now, since the last podcast, and there's been a lot of other things. I saw an article recently that I haven't blogged about. It's one of those things where it's almost so obvious, it's almost not worth mentioning, and yet it is, really. There was an article that talked about the fact that more people have died from pharmaceutical drugs than have died from illegal drugs like heroin and cocaine. All of these drugs that we know are dangerous, that commonly are understood to be a problem, a deadly problem on our streets, the deaths from those illegal drugs pale in comparison to the number of people that die because of prescription drugs, where a doctor has prescribed a drug, told the person they need to take that drug, they take it, quote, just like they're supposed to, and yet it causes all this pain and suffering. Why? Drugs are unnatural. They are artificial. They are non-organic in many cases, and they cause tremendous side effects. Name any drug that does not have a side effect. They list them in great detail, usually in very fine print, because, oh, we don't want to get you too concerned. Oh, man. I mean, I've seen drugs advertised on TV, and if you listen closely, just pay close attention to the side effects they list. They may say that it's good for some, you know, something like a fever blister, or some small thing that's not a big deal, and then they start listing the side effects, may cause liver failure, may cause death. Kind of reminds me of that song, The Drugs You Need, the parody song. I'm halfway tempted to play it, because, and I've played it before here on the podcast, but the song talks about the fact, if this drug causes death, please discontinue use. Oh my. And yet, all these various drugs do have very severe side effects. Now they're beginning to even make up problems and conditions and diseases in order to be able to sell the drugs. I tell you, I don't know. I guess I'm just in a mood today. It's just more than I can deal with sometimes. But the good news is that there are tremendous things going on in the natural health arena. There are seminars and lectures and classes. I was in a class just a couple of weeks ago talking about advanced nutrition and learned a tremendous amount about the good things that are going on in the natural health arena and the things that we can do to protect ourselves. It was exciting information, and in future podcasts I want to share some of the things that I learned at that particular class and other classes. I don't want every podcast to be a, so to speak, a downer. But we've just had some news this last time, as I was talking about it today, that maybe get your attention a little bit. So I wanted to share some of that with you. Well, I'll tell you what, we will pick up again, and I will endeavor in the next podcast to come out with some natural health information that will be of positive note and benefit. But at any rate, for now, remember what I always say. You are the person most responsible for your personal health.